Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Let's Get Fired. If you have any questions you want us to ask our guest or have any crazy work stories you want to share with us, go ahead and email them to us at letsgetfiredpodcast@gmail.com. Again, that's letsgetfiredpodcast@gmail.com. Let's get into it.
Didn't they give your wife drugs?
He used to like live stream himself in the shower.
And that friend complained that there was a joke about a uterus.
We don't have enough fights here in Utah.
But I love guys. I don't like guys, but I do
love
them.
This is a great podcast.
Welcome to the Let's Get Fired podcast. We're your hosts, Drew Simon right here and Quinn Johnson. But our special guest today, all the way from Boston, it's Nicholas Stubblefield.
Yeah. Boston native.
Boston native.
Ann Arbor adjacent. Ann Arbor adjacent.
And Improv Broadway alum.
An Improv Broadway alum. Yeah. Thank you.
Which is the mic I miss the most.
Yeah.
I miss Improv. No. If Improv Broadway came back.
Dude. I'll talk to Elena and she'll be like, I missed that mic. I'm like, yeah, it was a great crowd. You feel like you could kind of try anything. You're like, I just felt so much more like free. You're like, let's just give this a shot.
Is there a way to get it back? Is that door totally closed?
I don't know if I want to go down that path. Grow the ire of the musical improv troupe.
That's their turf now.
That is their turf.
That is their turf.
But yeah, it was great. But I mean, now we have Oz's mic.
Yeah,
Oz,
which isn't bad. It's pretty good.
I was thrilled to walk into that. It took me a while to find the basement.
But I found it,
and there is.
You just had to follow the smell of the fake alcohol.
Is it a pseudo speakeasy?
Yeah.
Okay.
They have mocktails,
just like what was that Latter Day Cafe? First ever comedy show.
It is. hey. Really stepping it up.
Yeah. Yes, I am.
Were they live streaming
fake coffee to fake alcohol?
Oh, yeah.
Dude. And then when they were looking at their fake coffee, you're like, this is cannot be better for you than coffee.
Definitely not.
I don't care about this is neon yellow what you're squirting into this drink.
They went out of business.
They did.
Didn't they give your wife drugs, Drew?
Yeah. So she ordered one and they're like, we're out of caffeine. So we didn't put caffeine in it, but if you want you can take these pills.
that's
great.
And the guy was like, it's not caffeine, but it's like caffeine.
Adderall. I do like as well. I mean, I can't believe it didn't work out because I thought that the promotion was great. You know, standing in the shower on a live stream.
Wait, what?
Remember that? He used to like live stream himself in the shower. Like, he didn't see his dick, but like, it just like, he'd just be in the shower, like talking, like,
Is this Oz? Are we talking about the owner of Latter Day Cafe?
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
That is wild.
Yeah, that was, dude, I forgot about some.
So wait,
are
you telling me Latter Day Cafe failed? Is that was it a squandered
tragically.
Business?
Tragically.
Well, also like, you know, in the back of his mind a little bit, doing that live stream in the shower, he's thinking this might get me laid.
Oh, for like, sure.
Thought process.
They just haven't seen my traps and like that's what's holding them back. They know they can get free coffee from me. Fake coffee, sorry.
They can straddle the line. Yeah. They can straddle the line.
Hey. Yeah. I like that. Okay. So this is a podcast where we ask you about your job history. And then sometimes it just becomes essentially a therapy session for Drew.
That's good. Yeah. Well, I actually had a question starting out with Drew. You know, so I really didn't want to forget today's podcast. So I set a certain reminder in my phone and I really didn't want to lose out. And I just want to know, Drew, what is it like to be a total alpha male? Should I show the camera? Is that going to show up beast mode in front of the Salt Lake City temple? Can you elaborate on this, Drew? Cause I'm a total gamma and I want to know, Drew, what's it like to be in the mind of an alpha? I've never done an alpha podcast before.
Yeah. Well, it is a very cool picture. Cause I was wearing a cool t-shirt.
Yeah. You were wearing, it was really cool.
Well, also, I'm a Seahawks fan. That's a Marshawn Lynch t-shirt.
Oh, okay.
That was his nickname, Beast Mode.
Okay.
So okay.
A football player, which it doesn't sound as cool when I'm wearing another man's branded t-shirt.
Mm-hmm. And then you're standing in front of the house of the Lord, and you were like, what better way to show this off?
Yeah.
If it makes you feel any better, there's a picture of me when I'm like 10, in front of the Salt Lake Temple in a Too Fast, Too Furious shirt. But that was my mom took that.
No, I took that by myself.
I want to know, that is a selfie. What was going through your head at the time? Is it for the Lord?
You posted that to Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I wanted actually Facebook, but... Sorry.
Yeah. Same company.
Back then it wasn't. So I just was like, I want a picture in front of the temple.
And
I didn't have anyone.
And this is, I just want to keep looking at that. You wanted this in front of the temple.
And like, also, what is this face you're doing? Because that is like, that is, good as you're trying to fuck. Like, oh, what's up, shoddy?
I'm going to derf so hard at EFY face.
Yeah. And so there's just a lot of things.
Yeah.
In that.
And I was like, that's a good profile picture.
And it was a profile photo.
I think very briefly, I got real negative feedback. Real quick.
So immediately people did not like it.
No, they did not. And then, cause that was the day I went to the Color Festival that day.
Okay.
And
there's like a Hindu temple in Spanish Fork where they do like a festival of colors.
Holy.
And I wore like a bandana and sunglasses to it because chalk will get in your face. And I took a picture beforehand wearing just the bandana and covering my face. And people were like, that's a good profile picture. Mm-hmm. So that
just
was,
cover it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just cover it.
That was my profile picture.
It was a very long story to get to that.
Yeah.
I just want to point that out. But I like that. You're on your heels and don't get it twisted. We like this photo.
We love this photo.
I would love
this photo.
I would love it if it wasn't me. I would.
I know. Love, but Drew,
this will probably stay my lock screen for for a while. Wait,
Drew, didn't you, because of the attention we've brought to it, didn't you delete this photo?
I did not. It's still on Facebook.
Okay, thank God.
Yeah,
so happy.
No, I thought that would be a real bitch move to take it off. Yeah.
And then I just would post that photo all the time because obviously I have it.
Yeah.
So
you have it. I have it now. Yeah. Downloaded on my phone.
Ready to go. Yeah. It's
there.
The
it is outside of your hands.
You can burn my house down. I still have it. So
I'm going to have to impose that onto the video version of the episode.
You remember how you're like we need a new,
you will. Yeah.
Like, you're like, we need a new like photo of us.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
should
for
that
the podcast,
be the pod?
We need to both stand in front of the temple.
Should we buy Beast Mode shirts?
That would actually be sick.
Drew, why isn't that your comedy headshot, actually? I think that
I like that.
Maybe it should be.
I think it should be.
It shows a lot about you. Because also, it's like, it is actually geniusly hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
In a weird way, it is.
I don't think it's a weird way. It's pretty self-explanatory. You know,
I don't think the genius is self-explanatory.
No, that's not. No, you have to look.
Yeah, that's what I meant. In a weird way, it is genius.
Because like he actually is being ironic here.
Yeah. No, I'm playing 4D chess. Like I knew this. I knew it wasn't cool.
I knew 7 years down the line, it would come up in a roast.
You were playing like the long haul, planting comedy seeds.
Yeah. I wasn't even doing stand up yet, but
you knew, Drew. You knew.
Yeah.
I'm a funny guy. It's probably gonna happen.
You knew what you would be doing in Spokane.
I like that. Okay. Nicholas, I didn't know I could like you anymore. The fact that you did that, pulled that one out, that's amazing.
Very awesome.
Maybe this is the direction this podcast
I wanted this to be
in.
Special.
It's just us, me and the guest just kind of just shitting on Drew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't like that, but
it sounds like
there are a lot more pictures we could pull up on Drew's Facebook and have him explain to us.
Let's not do that. But
okay, Drew. I feel like this is the only content people will click on.
I don't
like you.
I know.
You have a cosmopolitan fan base. The Germans are asking for
this. The Germans are asking for you for more than one reason. Okay. Well, that couldn't have been kicked off better.
Yeah.
But Nicholas, let's talk about you. And if it gets boring, we'll go back to Drew.
Okay.
But anyways, what was your first job?
My first job. The first job where I got paid, I was a tour guide at a nuclear reactor.
Well, figure. Go fucking figure.
Are you like, what did you study?
So I did, I double majored in physics and political science in college.
Classic.
And your master's.
And then I did a master's in nuclear engineering.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yes.
So was this were you before college you did this?
This was the summer after my first year of college. So I never really I was just an existing kind of person.
So did your parents have money?
My parents did not have money. I just kind of learned how to deal with it. Sometimes the church took care of us. We got a lot of meals from like the Deseret Industries food bank.
Fun.
And then I was able to get a scholarship to college. And so I'm like, okay, well, we'll get work when I need to get work.
Where'd you grow up again?
I grew up in Idaho Falls, Idaho.
That's right. Dude, you were right next to fucking...
Rexburg.
What's his name? Oh, you're right next to John Carter.
John Carter.
Pocatello. Yeah.
Oh, is that where John Carter is?
Did you ever hear about the Donkey Man?
I saw a video of the Donkey Man.
Did that make it to Idaho Falls?
It circulated, actually. No, a lot of things. So this was in Pocatello that Donkey Man happened. Sometimes Pocatello things would flirt on up to Idaho Falls, but also Blackfoot things. Blackfoot was kind of notorious for bad hazing rituals where people would in the high school, they would shove phones up your butt.
Phones.
And so that was usually like the seediest stuff that was usually circulating.
Shove the person's phone up their butt a stranger's phone.
Also, and it's like,
I think it was the purse.
Is this an Android?
This was a flip phone.
Okay.
No, these
not
are
as, not, not as impressive.
Also,
no.
Yeah.
They're shoving like a Samsung S3 up there. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, a Galaxy Fold?
Galaxy
Fold.
Put it in and open it.
It lacks in length, it does make up in girth.
I do like these stories, though, because it's just so fun looking back where they're like, they show a phone up this dude's ass. And they're like, he's so fucking, look how gay he is now. He has got a phone in his ass. Isn't that gay? Not us for shoving it up there, though.
No, that's straight as hell.
When I was gazing at his butthole, I was like, it's cool. So we like
it is
that.
Cool, isn't
so,
it, Quinn?
Forget
it
you
is
for,
cool.
I forget you from Idaho.
I'm from Idaho. That's what happened. A man got murdered on Disney Street. That was a local street, actually.
Disney Street.
Yeah. Well, usually the things like people talk about, the sex with donkeys and shoving phones at the butt. But one of my favorite Idaho Falls story has to be about a man named Derek Larson, who made sexual advances on another man late at night on a playground. And this other man took it so poorly that he stabbed him 36 times in the playground inner tube.
Look, a lot of the stories kind of circling back to people trying to prove they're not gay.
Like, yeah. That is. They're very serious.
Definitely,
in Idaho Falls.
I'm so fucking
definitely
straight.
Not gay.
Okay?
The straightest.
The guy would rather spend 90 years in prison than for
take me to jail. Take me to jail.
I will ruin both of our lives.
I'll be locked up with men.
I will
forever.
Kill on the straight hill. Right. Yeah.
Oh my God. Dude. I went up. I think I said this last week, but I went up to Idaho Falls for to do like comedy church.
Comedy church did a show in Idaho Falls. Really?
Yeah. I went up there. It's it's an interesting place.
Mm-hmm.
It's like on the way to Rexburg, right?
Yeah. It's on the same road.
Yeah. Strange place. There. So like we walk into the venue and it's like all these like dining tables and they have like this stage with like a an elaborate stage with like a carriage on there, and I was like, what kind of what show is this? I was like, okay. This is an interesting stage, and we're like, yeah, we're here for the show with the comics, and like, oh no, we're a dinner theater. He's like, God, I wish we had you guys. We can't sell this thing out. And then we're like, okay. So then he's like, it's next door. So we go next door, open the door, and it's like a children's nursery.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, what? I was like, what's going on in this town? And they're like, no, you're upstairs. And you go upstairs and it's like a BYU room classroom.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And they're like, this is it. And
so you didn't get the main stage.
That was the main stage.
Okay.
But we didn't get the dinner theater stage.
You did not get the
dinner
theater
stage. But anyways, Idaho Falls, there's a certain kind of sadness up there. I couldn't. Everywhere I looked, and the people I talked to, there was just a certain...
There's a solemnity, yes.
Desperation.
I had a roommate from UConn.
UConn, yeah. Okay.
So...
Cool.
All right.
Wild.
He always said Idaho Falls.
Uh-huh.
Never said UConn.
Well, UConn is just just so small right there. UConn also means something different out east.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it does. It means University of Connecticut.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Drew.
Hey, you should know that, Drew.
I know all about that.
And just what, Drew, no, that's why you're trying to avert our eyes from UConn because you don't want to talk about a real blue blood.
Yeah. Dude, let's not go there.
Are you real blue
blood? Dan Hurley just turned down a job at the Lakers to keep coaching at UConn.
That's actually pretty badass. He turned down Kentucky and the Lakers in the same offseason.
Also, of course, you can turn on Kentucky. Like, yeah, fuck you guys.
I mean, Kentucky is like premier.
Oh, yeah, it's the program, but like I just went back to back.
Yeah.
So
no,
it's like, why would you just talk about a lag? I would pick a downgrade.
Yeah.
I got to teach all these guys.
It's like if Oregon won the national championship in football 2 years in a row and then their coach got offered Alabama and he turned it down.
I feel like I don't know. Once you have that momentum, it's like, dude. Yeah. Anyways,
I can't contribute to this conversation.
I know about you.
Want
to
talk about sports?
Fencing. Wow.
Yeah.
Have you fought a pirate?
I've never fought a pirate. I did fight, however, a man who later came to a comedy show, brought his friend, and that friend complained that there was a joke about a uterus. That was at the American Falls Theater. We got a lot of complaints that day.
Was it a risque show?
It was about as risque as clean bit. Utah. So Adam Brown had a great bit about a uterus. And then there was another comic who wore a shirt that said "Children, not guns." And this man later wrote an email to Ryan, our show booker, about how he was coming to expect comedy and not to be hit over the head with political messages and risque jokes about female anatomy.
I like that because he's like, dude, I almost went a whole day without thinking about it.
I almost went a whole day.
And he said, yeah, like that's honestly like, when I was like a Mormon, like that's how my mind worked. Like you'd, because it'd be like, oh, it's been 2 days since I've thought about
about
dick and jacking off, and then it's like, but anyways,
and then aw nuts, and then someone spoils your streak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. You're like, whoops.
I mean, I'd be bummed out. Like you go, you know, with your
family.
Yeah,
he had to go home, and
you go see the Sound of Freedom with your family, and then you're like, next week let's go to a comedy show,
and then
that filth is.
He's like, fuck, I have to go home and masturbate now.
It is just so.
Someone said uterus, and now I have to come.
Damn it!
And isn't it even more fun? Like now that like you know like you're. You know, like you've gone to these other scenes in the Boston scene to think about someone complaining about
a uterus, about,
like Adam Brown and like you, like being like, what they did up there was crazy,
was wild. No, yeah. People, in Boston, it's better. Usually, you know, you just get heckled. And if you're a really rowdy comedian, you will then go into the audience and fight that heckler. There is a particular mic I really like. It happens late on Thursday nights. And it's a rowdy, just out of pocket mic. The first mic I ever went to, about 5 minutes in, the power went out. And then the following week, a fight broke out between one of the patrons who frequents it and one of the comics.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a really good, it's a fun scene.
Very Boston.
Yeah, it's
like,
full.
Almost like a caricature.
We don't have enough. Yeah. We don't have enough fights here in Utah.
No, you don't.
Also, people complain. Have you ever gotten a complaint for one of your...
I think so, but I can't remember.
I don't think I've ever had a complaint.
Yeah, you have.
Oh, okay.
I feel like there's a barista.
Oh, yeah.
Are you talking about your jokes or Quinn's jokes? Because your jokes have definitely gotten complaints before.
Yeah, Drew.
Oh, yeah,
don't
your jokes.
Kid yourself. People definitely have complained about what you've said on stage.
Well, I'm shocked right now. This is news to me.
This is news. You don't deliberately write these.
But you forget. I have to bring this up like every podcast. Like he has the Spokane, Washington brain on his head, where he's like, "What I'm doing is like I might as well be walking into the celestial kingdom right
I'm
now."
Like, I'm cool. Yeah. Like,
you're still wearing garments, Drew.
Yeah, I'm clean. Yeah.
I saw you. Yeah, you're a clean man.
Yeah, clean jokes.
Mm-hmm. About Taco Bell
so
Mexicans.
What's cool about a nuclear reactor?
So what's cool about a nuclear reactor? Several things. The way they can go wrong. That's hot. That's sexy. One of my favorite stories was at a nuclear reactor in Idaho. It was a test reactor. It was called SL-1. And it was during the Cold War days. There were three dudes manning this nuclear reactor, and they were trying to test Like if they could make smaller nuclear reactors to take them out to essentially either the Arctic Circle or Greenland to power radar stations that could detect incoming Soviet nuclear warheads. And so like, okay, how do we make nuclear power plants small and that we can move them over to Greenland? So they had a very small nuclear reactor, three people manning it. And rumor has it that there was a love affair. There was a little triangle in between the three, not between the three guys, but one guy was sleeping with the other guy's wife. And so he decided to sabotage the whole affair. And what he did is, one night when he was pulling control rods, which essentially like, mediates, how controlled the nuclear reactor is going, if it's either really hot or if it's cooled down, how energetic it is. And he decided to pull the control rod all the way out, making the reaction go super critical. The reactor exploded because all the water heated up. It had a steam explosion. All three of them died. And when later the cleanup team went in, they found the guy who had pulled out the control rod pinned to the ceiling. When he had pulled it out, the control rod had entered through his body and pinned him onto the ceiling. In fact, he was missing for the first full day of the search because they just didn't find his body until they looked up. And that,
holy shit,
that's what's cool about nuclear power. That's what I really like.
That's very fun.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that's very exciting.
Yeah, so do with that what you will.
No, it's very cool. And you said it was hot and sexy.
It's hot and sexy. Yeah. Those are really like the only adjectives I really know.
You know, it's something I heard someone say about what's cool about like radiation. So it's the gift that keeps on giving.
It's the gift. It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, I thought that was fun. I thought you would enjoy that.
I did enjoy that. Yeah. Thank you, Quinn.
That's okay. So just a side note. You know, I used to think you kind of sounded like Mulaney, but now I don't think that. You know, your voice reminds me of
who's that, Quinn?
John Tom Papa.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. I figured it's like
you see it.
No,
you have to hear it. You have to hear it.
The cadence.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
No, don't worry. I know he's not used to watching comics like him. But you'll hear it.
He's not your Joe Rogan.
I like Tom Papa.
Yeah, Tom Papa's great. Tom Papa's great.
I saw him at the Comedy Cellar, then right after that, COVID happened.
Oh, yeah. Oh, nuts. Really? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But anyways, so that's cool. Yeah. I enjoy that story. It's a very fun story.
That was
story.
A fun story.
A lot that's of good. Bad shit happens in Idaho.
Yeah.
And it should, because it's a horrible place.
One of the first governors was assassinated with dynamite.
Sack potatoes?
Oh. Dynamite.
No, dynamite, wow. Actually. No, he was, the governor was anti-union, and had, it was after his term as governor, and so.
Can I guess why he was anti-union?
Yeah, go ahead.
Just a bunch of guys getting together.
Just a bunch of guys. That's Idaho history right there. Just a bunch of dudes.
Just a bunch of guys. Let's live as far apart as we can from each other.
Spread them.
Yeah. Don't spread them, though. Anyways. So
he got assassinated because the union bosses, they hired a dynamite expert who had recently done a job in Colorado, blowing up a railroad, murdering many. And they hired him to booby trap the ex-governor's gate door. And he did. And the governor walked. Exploded. He lived for a little bit longer. His arms and legs did blow off. But that is, I think his name is Stonenberg. I think that was his name. It's a terrible way to die. But that's Idaho. That's the lengths people will go to show that they're not gay in Idaho.
History.
It's almost respectable.
Endearing. Yeah. Did you learn a lot about Idaho history in school?
I had a hunt for that. They don't give you that kind of information. The really only thing they tell you about Idaho history is that the Mormons ended up there first by mistake before they went to Salt Lake
City.
That's
our claim to fame.
That's it. They accidentally settled in Idaho and they're like, oh, this isn't God's land. And then they moved down south.
That's the most my testimony has ever been re-sparked is the idea that the pioneers stopped at Idaho and were like, wait, is this the place? And they were like, oh, and they were like, nope, No, fuck this.
That's it. That's divinity right there. That they were able to get an answer.
A few of them stayed in what is now Rexburg.
Mm-hmm.
Settling Rexburg. But it's just, it's phenomenal. And I think that describes Idaho's relationship to Utah, is it just kind of has the straggling residue Mormons.
Oh, yeah. No, it's area. Like, it's just like, I always viewed Utah and Idaho as like they're together. Like, mm-hmm. but Idaho is just like the estranged.
Yeah, well, brother. Idaho Falls is as much Utah as like St. George is Utah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just, you know, one you want to live in. And like, it's crazy. Yeah. The moment you enter the Utah borders, it just immediately starts looking better. And you're like, okay, these got some mountains. And,
yeah. We always talk about the mountains, yeah. Quinn. We love the mountains.
Yeah.
Because I miss the mountains.
Well, you like the fucking mountains. Here's, look outside. Look how stunning they are.
They're stunning.
That's what everyone says when they've come here.
Breathtaking,
like, wow.
Quinn.
I will say,
I'm blown away by this. And I'm like, yeah, it's not everybody doesn't fucking have this.
From Eastern Washington growing up, we always went over to North Idaho, Coeur d'Alene.
Yeah.
And we were always like, this is like breathtaking and
breathtaking.
Stunning.
Stunning.
Then I applied to go to BYU, Idaho.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, I love Idaho.
Uh-huh.
And I got to Rexburg. And I think after like 2 months of not seeing a pine tree, I was depressed.
Mm-hmm. No, I was up there. Me and Drew did a comedy show.
Yes, you did. Drew's dad.
He was
came
there,
to that comedy show. I heard.
Shout out.
And it was like the beginning of May, and there weren't still no leaves on the trees, and it just was dark and cloudy.
Very cold.
Cold.
It's a bleak. Yeah. Rexburg is a bleak place.
Yeah, it's very depressing. Anyways, so your first job was a tour guide.
It was a tour guide and a nuclear reactor. It was retired. It was a retired nuclear reactor.
Do you work
operating.
In nuclear?
I do mostly like nuclear policy stuff now. So I've kind of switched into the social science side of things. So we're doing, more like an academic job. We're getting funding from the Department of Energy to interview people in Kemmer, Wyoming. Because Bill Gates wants to build a nuclear reactor out there, and the DOE is interested in finding ways to make nuclear reactor siting a little bit more environmentally just and more inclusive of community feedback. And so that's kind of our job. Like, we're inquiring into how the people of Kemmer, Wyoming feel about the construction of a nuclear reactor.
Is it a good idea?
That is. So our job is, we don't take a position for or against. We're just kind of evaluating what the people of Wyoming feel.
My mom hates Bill Gates.
Your mom hates Bill Gates. Does she a conspiracy theory?
Yeah, definitely.
So like
he's gonna buy all the farmland and starve us all.
Okay. Really, I haven't heard that one from Bill. I have heard the one that he
wants to blow dust at the sun.
Blow dust at the sun. That is okay. That's a fun form of geoengineering.
Well, yeah,
right there.
Because I think the idea was to help block the UV.
Yeah, it's the climate change technique.
So that was
But then that's just Snowpiercer. You get a Snowpiercer.
Growing up in Washington State, Bill Gates was this like such like revered person. Like, in throughout school, we're all like, he's the best person. He's literally Jesus of Washington. And
yeah, because he is a Washington guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't he?
And okay. Now all those people, especially in Eastern Washington, are like, we hate that guy.
We hate
like,
and if you're like
that
why?
Fucking nerd.
Like, yeah.
And if you and then if you go, why Eastern Washington do they hate him? You know, just
I don't.
They're not the coastal elites. They're everyday Joes and Schmoes, just like you and I, Quinn.
Absolutely. But the difference between you and I is we don't live in Yakima.
We don't live in Yakima.
Have you ever seen a photo of Yakima?
I have never seen.
Would you like to see what Yakima looks like?
I would
like?
Love to see what Yakima
this
looks
is Drew's
like.
Drew's part of the world.
Okay. I've seen a person from Drew's part of the world wearing a Beast Mode t-shirt in front
it's
of the Salt
Eastern
Lake City
Washington
Temple.
To me.
Yakima is definitely not Eastern Washington.
Where is it? Central?
It's definitely more Western.
You know what?
Does Eastern Washington also want part in the Greater Idaho movement? Have you heard about the Greater Idaho movement?
Yeah, I know. They want to pick like Idaho, Eastern Washington, Eastern Oregon. They want to put that all into one state.
Yeah.
Which it's like, hey, good luck having money for anything.
Yeah. They want to create mega Idaho.
So mixed feelings. I do think secession is good.
Okay, secession is the answer. Well, Drew, quote.
I don't think as a whole country, but I think people who hate each other shouldn't be forced to stay in a relationship. And maybe they should, you know, we should just let them split up and see how it goes.
You know what? I think that all the red districts actually in every blue state should join Idaho. I think Idaho should just be this great megalith.
It just takes and
yeah, like, I want parts of Idaho to exist in Massachusetts.
I want to be able to go like to Victorville, California and be like, we're still in Idaho.
We're still in Idaho, yeah, guys.
Still in Idaho.
Go to Chicago, and as soon as you leave the boundary of Chicago, you're right back in Idaho in any direction.
That was the thing I didn't know about Oregon. Like the moment you leave Portland, like you get outside of those borders, it's just like QAnon. Mm-hmm. And I guess it's the same way when people would ask people to ask me about Utah, they don't know Salt Lake's a blue city. You're like, yeah, you know? So it's...
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like Spokane, like proper, is pretty... progressive. It's like when you get outside it gets a little wild,
like two blocks
but people
away.
It's funny because people from Spokane, well, there's definitely more black people in Spokane than in Utah, but people from Spokane talk about Utah the way people from Utah talk about Eastern Washington. Mm-hmm. They're just like the joke you would always like, you only performed in front of militias. And when I talk to Spokane comics, like, how's Utah? Like, that's
No, I mean, it is. It's just how it is with all these places. It's like, unless you've actually gone to these somewhere, you don't know.
Oh, yeah. No, everyone has like a caricature of what that place is. But I like that. We should keep doing that. I like told my step grandpa, I was thinking about maybe moving to Austin. And he's like, oh, dude, you know, Austin, it's just a bunch of gun loving rednecks everywhere. And I was like, I don't think you've. Know anything about Austin at all.
Yeah. Step grandpa seems to be out of the loop.
No.
Absolutely. It's like forever it's been like the Portland of Texas.
No, he's a very progressive man from Minnesota who does not like anything inside Texas.
He's got a backwards way of thinking about those people down south, your step grandpa. I think he needs to update the way he sees the world.
It's definitely, you know, once you leave Texas and you enter New Mexico, it's like more civilized.
Has he ever seen that picture of you in front of the temple?
Oh, I mean, he's a faithful member of the church, so he probably loves that. He would actually love that.
No, he's like, well, at least he's doing one thing right.
He's on the covenant path.
He is. You are probably one of the only comics in Utah on the covenant path.
So I'm just gonna take a guess that
that's your third white claw.
Yeah,
I can just tell. I mean, they're just white claw cans.
You can count
over here.
So. My guess is you've only had two jobs.
I have had more than two.
Three.
Are you counting being a missionary?
Okay. All right. I was not counting. We're not counting missionary work. We're not. All right. That's not. I don't know where what boundaries this podcast.
No. We're not counting that.
Okay.
I'm offended that Drew
we
said
don't.
That.
Okay.
I accused him of counting it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. No. I didn't count the mission.
Okay.
Don't worry. I didn't count the mission. I have had. Let's take stock.
This is not a good look that's happening right now.
Five jobs.
Well, list them all.
List them. So I was the tour guide, right? And then I was an undergraduate researcher at a lab in Boston College.
It's also I know that it is technically real, but also it does also kind of feel fake, you know, like yay, we're kind of, you're like, anyways, continue.
It was more like internship work. It was like, oh, we'll
did
help.
You get paid?
I did get paid. Yes.
Okay. Okay.
So I did get paid, which is why I count it. This is really the only qualifier. So there was that one. I am currently working as a I also work as a personal assistant to a historian. I do that. And then it looks like you have something you want to say, something quivering on your lips.
What kind of historian?
American history.
American history.
American history, like public history too. So she's like a very public facing, writes a lot of books, goes on tours, all that jazz. So that's job three. There was another nuclear policy job before this one, and now the current kind of nuclear Wyoming job. Okay. I think I might be forgetting a couple, but that sounds like five. That might be it. That might be it. Yeah,
a lot of nuclear.
No, I mean you are definitely have out of all the people you've had on, your job list definitely has. You're the only one we've had on that has a career.
Uh-huh.
I'll just put it like that.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, everyone else, it is just jobs.
Like, Chuck Fury didn't have
this. Well, yeah. I mean, but this is, I'm just like, oh, yeah, this is like the steps into like having a successful career that, you know, does effective work and is like an aspirational pursuit. And so this is actually a big moment for us, big get.
Yeah, you know? Well, this is a big get,
big step up for us.
This is a fired up. So you fired up first.
So you've never worked as a delivery driver for Amazon?
I have never worked as a delivery driver for Amazon.
Any customer service jobs?
I do a little bit of customer service for the historian job. I have to. Okay. I field a lot of customer service emails.
Okay.
For those.
Okay. So not. Okay. So not real. Not really.
Not
okay.
Like front.
No.
Facing,
no. No.
Like.
No. It's. You know. It's. It's collegiate, like white collar,
yeah,
kind of stuff, which is fun because it's a new perspective.
No,
for
like
us.
Fast food experience.
That's
I haven't
fine.
Been there. It's just yeah. been. It's
Although
been,
you would be great
stuff.
On the mic at a fast food.
I would have loved to have been a drive-through operator.
You would have been actually amazing.
I
at
mean,
it.
What's holding you back?
What? Nothing, actually.
You could get the job today.
I should go to the Chick-fil-A right now. Well,
no,
I don't know.
No, I think no. I love Chick-fil-A, but you should go to Taco Bell because I would just love to hear you describing the new Cheez-It Crunch Wrap.
is that their new product?
Yeah, I just ate
a Cheez-It product.
I just
okay.
ate it. It's good. I like.
I
love Taco Bell.
I told Amanda, I was like, maybe we should like break our streak.
Are you guys
of
on
not
a,
having Taco
like
Bell?
Doing a Taco Bell fast?
No, they always talk about how they're on a diet, and then you never, and then it just continues to say they're on a diet, and then after a couple months, you're like, so are we gonna see any difference at some point?
Actually,
but
it is interesting because one of my favorite forms of comedy is just straightly describing new fast food products.
Oh yeah,
I think it's hilarious, and I think I'd have a great time in a drive thru.
You need to. Yeah, you'd be great because I just would love hearing like, "Hello, friends.
Hello,
welcome to Taco Bell. May I interest you in the
Crunchwrap?"
Cheese it edition. I don't know. There's something like you
guys. We've
find
got
your way with it.
Real sexy, real groovy on the line mm-hmm. here. I'm staking my entire reputation here.
Yeah, and no, I just think it would be actually a great fit. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's like you'd just be like, you know, did you ever do musical theater?
Mm-hmm. I did not. I never did musical theater.
I got very excited.
I know. I cannot. I'm tone deaf, so I actually okay. can't.
You don't have to. You can just be a dancer.
I can. Did I what?
Regular theater.
Did I do? I did a couple of productions in kindergarten. I did a kindergarten production and then later a second grade production.
What about high school?
I took a drama class in high school, but never. It never really amounted to anything, I'm afraid. No book shows.
No, I mean, okay. No, it's okay. I mean,
thank you. I'm glad. I needed that validation.
I know. Well, I mean, honestly, you probably saved your life out there because if you'd started doing plays, you might have been killed.
I would have gotten sucked in.
I can't believe they do musical.
If I would have done plays in Idaho, I would be dead.
Can't believe they do musical theater and. Up in North Ekman, Idaho. I just can't. But hey, anyways. But no, I wish I did more theater in high school because I did one drama class as well in my senior year. And I got in there and I was like, I should have just been doing this. This is definitely more my scene. And I remember I did Hello Dolly.
Mm-hmm. You did Hello? Really?
Yeah, I was in Hello Dolly. I was the head waiter at uh-huh. this like the restaurant they go to. So my big line is I'd walk out and they'd be like, "Is Dolly here?" And I'd be like, "It's true, yeah." And I'd be like, do this big like wave. And I remember like I would like put on like my makeup and I'd be like doing my eyebrows. And I was like, this feels way too natural.
Would that get a big reaction from the audience too?
And like all of the crew would come up just to see me do that
mm-hmm.
and then go back down.
Is that
was the truest you ever felt to yourself?
Kept doing
Quinn.
That like bigger and bigger.
Was that that like the seed of you doing stand up? Like you did something and the crowd reacted and you're like, that felt good.
I'll say, yeah, actually, you know what the biggest seed was? In all honesty, it was the, I was like, so in the, like when like, you're in the church, when you're like, what is it? You're like in the youth and like you're in the priest quorum, like you can be selected to like represent like your ward in the stake. And you have okay. those meetings, yeah. you know, where it's like a couple people, like teenagers, and like you guys kind of help set up youth conference.
Yeah.
So we set up youth conference.
You were one of those?
Yeah.
You were one of those youths? You were a representative.
Yeah, because people like me.
An emissary of the Lord, Quinn. Mm-hmm.
I know. My friend also was, because it was just him and another guy, and that was their whole priest quorum. But anyway, so we set up this youth conference, and all the guys like me, guys and girls, we had to like get up in front of everyone and talk. I do a little talk about our favorite hymn, and then they would perform it, and everyone would like sing like one verse. And I just chose the longest, like what's the longest song? And so like the hymn would take for it, because if we're only doing one verse, but like how can I make this as long as possible? Anyways. So the guy tries to play it on the piano, this like 16-year-old kid, and he can't play it, and it's like already fucking it up.
It's already probably like yeah. a weird underground hymn. Yeah, it's
like some hymn I've never heard of.
Okay.
And so he's just like already messing it up. And so I just start like hamming it up, like conducting it. And I see like people like laughing. And at this time, all I wanted to be was like a film director.
Uh-huh.
And then once I started doing this and like being in front of everyone, like, and seeing people laugh, I was like, oh, that's really cool. That's like, that's,
this is it.
That's something different. Nice. That was like, that's probably like the biggest like thing where I was like, actually, I'd rather like, cause I never thought I wanted like to perform,
mm-hmm.
but I was like, this is pretty cool actually. So anyways, that was probably the moment.
That way you got your performance bug doing a, conducting a hymn at a stake youth meeting.
Yes.
Wow. I never really pictured that as a comedy origin story for Quinn Johnson. Dude,
and I would walk around. I'm like, I'm going to wear an outfit to this. So I wear a costume. I dressed up as a hobo. I'd cut off these gloves and I'd have like this like sack.
Uh-huh.
And I would just like walk around between the lessons. And I get some people, like some leaders be like, is there like a homeless guy here? Yeah, but that was like, it was fun. And then I went on a scout outing. I dressed up like Crocodile Dundee.
Uh-huh.
I cut off jeans.
You leaned in.
I wore rainbow socks. And in a gas station in the middle of Utah, a dude called me a faggot.
You were a special
yeah.
lad.
Yeah, dude called me a faggot. I was like 16. And dude, they was like, excuse me, you fucking faggot. And then like, that had never happened before.
Really? Dude.
You owe so much to the church, Quinn. Why did you leave?
No, I sometimes question why I did.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I've never seen a faggot.
Because I love John, by the way.
In the wild, where someone, like, because when I was high school, we said it all the time, but we only said it to other straight guys, said it to other straight guys. But I
I'm sure it wasn't just.
Well, I
sure it wasn't.
Sure was it? Are you sure?
Yeah. And I've learned since high school.
Sure. That's why you just said it.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, dude. That was,
come on. You're among friends, Drew. You're among friends.
I've learned since then.
Throw in another one for your German listeners.
But yeah, I never seen a gay person bully called a fag in the wild. I've never.
I feel like you've.
I think you have, Drew.
I think you have. I'm going to name one person right now who's a good friend of yours who moved here with you from Washington.
Yeah.
I would like you to describe some of the stuff you said to his face.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's. That's different.
I was just telling him what he was doing was abhorrent to God.
No, that is fun. I feel
just
I feel,
know that I love you no, as a friend, but I can't support what you're doing.
This isn't like in high school where I was like a more evolved human.
Uh-huh.
This was like last year.
Just want to highlight once again to reiterate: no one's ever complained about Drew's comedy.
No one ever has. No,
it was a fun bit. Okay, it was a fun
bit.
Yeah.
You're the straight-laced Mormon at Skankfest.
Yeah, dude. I have to like tell people, like, just so you know, like, Drew is Mormon, and they're like, "What?" And I'm like, "Yeah."
Like actually attending Mormon.
Yeah.
No, I I don't get homophobia, but I definitely
perform it.
Yeah, I perform it. No, but actual, because in high school, Clayton was closeted bisexual. And so he actually did real homophobias in high school.
Like, yeah.
Calling kids fags and stuff, or like apparently, like one time at a party, he was hanging out with another dude, and then they got started brushing up shoulders, and then he socked the dude in the face and called him a fag.
Yeah.
So I don't, yeah, I never would do that, but I definitely, I've had some bad moments, but I've never understood aggressive homophobia. I was just trying to bring a brother to Christ.
Yeah. Well, also this is also something we did talk about last week, where I have noticed through doing this podcast that when sometimes we'll joke about some gay thing or whatever, and Drew will be the one who pushes back the most. I'm like, well, that's not me.
That's not me.
I don't do that. And it's like, it is kind of like that closeted Clayton thing where sometimes people that push back on it the most.
No,
there is definitely a trope.
That is,
you know, I'm not gay, but I would make out with Quinn. I would.
Yeah. I wouldn't.
I'd make out with you, Drew. That's how not gay I am. I'm ready to put it on the line by making out with each and every.
Yeah.
You want to kiss on camera right now, Drew?
Exactly.
That was a fun thing. Like, I remember high school and football, like, we had like prison style showers, and I would not shower with the team. And they're like, "What? Why are you not going to shower with us? You gay? Like, is that why?"
It is actually such a fun, like, Uno reverse.
Yeah, and I was very uncomfortable being naked in front of a bunch of dudes.
Be gay? Would you hold it?
And then, like, I was always like, that was a fun, like, haha. And then, like, now years pass, like, I found out that, like, half of those guys were bisexual. Mm-hmm. So now I'm more glad I didn't shower with them.
Yeah, but
that was the homophobic thing right there. You were glad you didn't shower with some bisexual guys.
You're afraid
that's the true colors.
You were afraid the temptation was gonna get to you. And the devil does live in the water.
Mm-hmm. He does. Well, he controls them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No, that's true.
So you would have. They would have got you.
Well, you know? No. The devil doesn't live in the water. It's just. Some people can't swim, and the
devil does live in our assholes.
Like paying
though.
For insurance, that's what I found out.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Slam dunk.
Yeah. Anyways, so this is.
I really like the format of this podcast.
You,
start with me, go back to Drew.
It's, the more we've done it, the more fun it becomes. Because Drew, you know, he's not going to go to therapy, or he goes maybe once and then won't go again.
I just started going. Yeah.
How many times have you gone?
Three times.
And how, what period of time?
From the beginning of May until now.
That's not bad.
That's not bad. What do you feel? How do you feel about it?
I don't love it.
Okay.
It's a thing though. It's like, it is kind of like you're working out though. It's like, cause you're gonna be talking about shit you normally don't like to think about usually.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So it's at first, especially it's not, it might not be the most fun thing.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, we're going to talk about all the things I hate. Oh, yeah,
it's not.
Talk about the showers again. Oh, no.
No, I'm not traumatized from any of that. I will say, though, as like a freshman in high school, I weighed 130 pounds, and being on the freshman football team was terrifying because like when you're 130 pounds, you're 14 years old. These like 17, 18 year old seniors who have beards, like they look like grown men. And they all made jokes about how they're going to make us suck their dicks. And it was pretty terrifying. And our football
camp. But you said you weren't traumatized.
No, I mean, it was terrifying, but nothing happened.
Not traumatizing.
I was
scared as fuck, but not traumatized.
Well, and they did get one of us.
One of them did.
So they at football camp, they got a freshman and locked him into one of the dorm rooms. And then stripped him naked, shoved a banana up his ass, and then
was it a banana?
Let's just
believe it's a banana.
But the when the coach object. Asked about it, there it was hazing, and so it was you know,
fun
2007.
Hazing. Yeah,
fun and games. You know what boys get.
But
real John Hamm's in the making.
They definitely got like the most like. The toughest freshman dude on our freshman football team. Mm-hmm. And so in my mind, I was like, fuck, if they could get him, like,
they were just teaching you guys a lesson.
Yeah,
they're showing you what
football's like.
Yeah.
They didn't have to teach you a lesson.
Like, you see like Tom Brady's speech he just gave at the Hall of Fame. induction?
No, I didn't.
Give a speech about football and like why everyone should do it because it's hard. And it's like, you need to like, and it's like when people are, you know, like on summer break, like waking up eating pancakes, like you're going to like to a football camp, you know, you're waking up early, you're sweating, your people are older than you, you're getting beat up and getting,
it builds character. And
getting bananas put up your ass.
No, it's all character building. It's not, you shouldn't shy away from it.
Exactly.
You
why did you shy away from the showers then?
Yeah.
He already told me, but he's talking about this now.
A good
point, because if you don't want to do something, you should do it because it builds
character. So makes kiss you stronger. Me.
Yeah, kiss me right now on camera,
well,
Drew.
Yeah.
The twist. He does want to kiss us, and that's why he's not gonna.
Fuck. That's right.
Not to us.
That's nuts.
Yes. Yeah. So anyway, that's very interesting. And also, like, think about like if you actually had really embraced all that, you'd probably be in the NFL.
I don't like how hard he laughed at that. That's
You think about it, dude. Like, and then he would have been
you weren't true to yourself, Drew.
Also, pull him to the
I just want to point out too. Remember when you're like, I'm not homophobic at all, and then we were talking about the beast mode shirt. You're like, I was pretty dumb. I'm wearing another dude's merchandise. Which I like too,
because I do
it also, and then also you wore it, like you bought the shirt and wore it, and I can't believe I wore that.
Yeah, dude, and that this was like that picture was taken like weeks after they lost the Super Bowl, where they threw on the 1 yard line.
And you decided to support your boys.
Yeah.
Like, you know what they needed? They needed the Lord.
They needed Drew
Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, he needs the Lord. Also, like most of what you wear is like sports memorabilia. You're just watching young men just work their ass off, sweat, and you're like, out of all the things that would make you cry, sports have got to be like number one.
That is number one,
yeah,
for sure.
Watching these guys,
there's a bunch of
these guys,
seeing these guys,
they work so hard,
Drew.
They're so happy,
so hard.
Well, and here's the thing,
but God didn't pick them to win.
The selfish thing is like, I could care less about them.
That's just not true.
Well, no.
You could care less about
the
individual players on Gonzaga.
Yeah.
Who are your favorite NBA players?
Yeah, no, they're all Gonzaga players.
Okay, so.
No, if thinking about them winning the championship makes me think about, you know, my hometown and how growing up, everyone in my hometown, all wanted this thing to happen.
But if they did
and it
that,
never does.
If they did that, would you frame a jersey of like the star athlete on that team? Would you consider that?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, there'd be so many things that don't make fucking sense.
QED, Drew. QED. Okay.
You can say it's fine to be like, yeah, I like these guys.
Support the boys.
But like not saying you would like you don't like you think about your town. That's why you like Gonzaga, not these athletes, and like how much do you like fucking Timmy?
Oh, dude, yeah, dude.
All Timmy's these the and these guys have brought you joy. These specific guys who are not from your hometown.
No,
but they play.
A lot are.
Yeah, but not all. A lot of the stars are from Spokane, Washington, at Gonzaga.
Dude, last year, one of their starters was
one of them.
One.
Yeah.
How many starters are there on a basketball team?
Five. All right, Bear.
And there's a bench. Hello, a dog entered. I'm just saying, it sounds more like you're trying. It's like it sounds like you're trying to hide from us the fact that you do enjoy some men out there. Doesn't mean you enjoy them sexually, but the fact that you won't be like, I like Timmy. Like,
no,
he's cool.
I have said I love Timmy.
I know, but I had to get it out of you.
You did get it out of me.
That's why I came. That's why I came to Utah. Yeah. To get it out of you, Drew. Yeah.
In my closet right now, I do have a Russell Wilson jersey.
Did you cry when he got traded?
I did not cry.
You did.
But you felt emotional.
No, you famously cried when you called Amanda on the phone, and Amanda thought someone died.
No, okay. She did. I didn't cry.
Oh,
but the tone was.
Can you recreate kind of what you sounded like?
Oh yeah,
do it.
How did you start the call? Like,
all right, and you're Amanda.
Okay, hey, Drew, what's going on?
And then silence. And they got rid of him. He's gone. He's gone. Who's gone? You gotta be Amanda.
Who's gone?
They traded Russell Wilson.
Well, where?
Fucking Denver.
So who?
We're not gonna win a Super Bowl for 15 years.
Who did they get to replace him?
No one.
So you just left without a man now?
I'm not even going to watch a single game this season.
And that wasn't true.
And I said that on the phone, though. I said, I'm not watching a single game. And then I watched every game the next season.
Yeah. And then the irony is then Russell Wilson sucked at Denver.
Yeah. No. And so that was really easy to get over.
Yeah, but well, obviously once he started to suck. But
yeah,
first,
when you see
though,
like
know,
when you see an ex fail, it's really easy to get
like,
over.
The way Amanda she described it to me, she was like, it was one of the most devastated she's ever seen you.
Well, she didn't see it. But it was on
dude,
the phone.
Shut
we,
the
I called
fuck
her.
Up, dude. Yeah, okay. I know I get it. But still, I'm just saying, dude, you love dudes. Doesn't yeah. not mean sexually, doesn't
no,
mean,
no,
doesn't
I,
mean happy sexually.
I know I love dudes.
The dudes are great. Yeah.
Who's your favorite dude right now?
Yeah. Who's the best cool. dude? Which dude are you thinking about the most these days?
And then also same for Nicholas later.
Okay.
That's a great question, actually.
Yeah.
Favorite
dude currently. Or like you know, it could be like it doesn't have to be like the most favorite, but dude just right now.
I mean, because right now it's the off season.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more music right okay. now. So I'm listening to a lot of Zach Bryan.
Okay.
So that's probably the dude I'm thinking about the most.
Okay, Zach Bryan.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm really not familiar with him.
Oh, dude. So I don't know if I saw this video on YouTube that kind of described him pretty well. It was like he is like country music's like Nirvana moment. Because like in the 80s, all the music was like hair metal and it was fun, like Motley Crue. And then Nirvana comes onto the scene and people are like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
And then they're like, I don't want that music. They're like, I want to get into Kurt Cobain's head. And
hey.
People like who are listening to country.
Did you say
like,
that on purpose?
What?
Did you say that on purpose? They want to get into Kurt Cobain's head?
His mind.
I know, but you know.
Yeah. I didn't get the joke.
I know. But I just want to double check.
Drawing the comparison here.
Okay.
And then so they're saying like, people don't want stupid music about, you know, tractors or beer or whatever stereotypical country song. They're like, oh, I want to hear Zach Bryan write a song about his mom dying from alcohol withdrawals.
Mm-hmm.
So that's I like his stuff. It's pretty okay. cool.
All right. And Nicholas, how about you?
So have you seen Godzilla Minus One?
Yeah. Just watched it.
The doctor, the one who schemes up the plot to destroy mm-hmm. Godzilla.
He's
he's a bona fide cutie, Quinn. I think about him and his hair. I've been thinking about that for probably the past 24 hours. I watched it again last night, and just mm-hmm. after I got back from Wise Guys, I'm like, I can't get this guy out of my head. He's a cutie.
I haven't talked to you in a while. Do you like guys?
I love guys, but not
romantically.
I don't, not romantically. Sometimes, you know, I'm like, well, that's a real cute guy. I just kind of want to be around that real cute guy. You know, I want to like.
I know.
Yeah. You know.
And you know. Okay. So you don't like guys, but you love guys.
But I love guys. I don't like guys, but I do
love
them.
This is a great podcast.
This is my favorite one.
Solved everything here. We've really figured it all out.
From Idaho.
I know. We did definitely establish certain things happened to you in Idaho.
That's right. Quinn, what guy are you thinking about the most these days?
I'll show you.
Oh, hot dog.
Charles Leclerc.
Oh, dude, I don't know who that is.
He's a Formula One driver.
Oh, okay.
Drives for Ferrari. He's an incredible race car driver. He's also very hot.
Mm-hmm.
Love me. He has this great accent.
Where's he from?
Monte Carlo.
Okay.
He's a Monaco. Mm-hmm. But the one thing is, though, he's very hot, amazing race car driver, but I have seen a video of him trying to shoot a basketball. I just have to pretend that doesn't exist.
Is that an ick for you, Quinn?
I mean, it's like I mean, he's a European guy. Uh-huh.
It's not their thing.
He takes his shirt off.
It's not their thing.
I don't know why they took their shirts off. Like, how like hot you guys?
But, skins.
But like, it's like, but he's like, it's like,
we're all skins.
He looks like a, he's like, ugh. It's like, dude, it is like, it's so bad.
Dude, when I was in Guatemala watching them, whenever anyone touched a basketball, it was just hooking it at the basket.
And dude, and like, I'm so bad at basketball, but I'm like, I felt like fucking Steph Curry watching him. Mm-hmm. Like, that's it is fun to like see these like I remember I was in Edinburgh on my mission. We went to like the university campground or the big fields, and they were like, we just found these guys who had a football, American football, just throwing it. These Scottish guys, and they were just like, just like toss it. And me and my competitor walked up like, hey, we're from America. You want us to see how to throw a football? Like, you know,
like, did you help them?
Yeah, because it's like, it's just crazy. It's like it's the most athletic I've ever felt.
Oh,
and
dude.
And it's like, I like throwing footballs, but I would just play with my friend. Like, we wouldn't, but like, yeah, like just that. But they're just, they have no idea. You know,
I would play basketball with like the young men in whatever branch I was in Guatemala. And we'd play like 4v1, and I felt like LeBron James against these little Guatemalans, like
just knocking them out.
Just almost, I can't dunk, but like getting up there.
But like, dude,
just blocking shots, like aggressive
minimum effort.
The ball.
You're like, is this what like any black dude feels like?
like what? This is the coolest I have ever felt.
Oh, dude, I felt so cool.
It's pretty awesome.
And then we played soccer, and I felt so dumb after that. Like,
you know, I mean, I've been watching these two black dudes are reacting to like videos of like Messi, like like these guys, like just like they're like practicing, just like the tricks they're doing with their feet, and they just keep being like, what the fuck? It truly is like mind blowing. You're like, but yeah, it's the same shit when you like, you watch like, I don't know, I don't know if they're as blown away with Tom Brady. But
there's no impressive Tom Brady highlight reel.
Well, dude, you're so fucking stupid.
No, dude, here's the thing. I'm a Tom Brady fan, and mm-hmm. he is the best player to ever play.
Mm-hmm. Prove Amanda, it. Kiss a Bostonian.
Kiss him.
Well, yeah. Well, you're not native Bostonian.
Didn't we establish that I was a native Bostonian at the beginning of the podcast? Like a native Bostonian.
That was for comedic effect.
Make it fast. We got to wrap up.
Yeah. Anywho, Amanda was like, what made him so great? And then I was like, look at the numbers.
You go, quick release.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he had a quick release. But I was like, look at the numbers. How many Super Bowls he won? Like, no one has as many touchdowns, yards. And then she's like, okay, let's see like some highlights. And I was searching for a good highlight reel. It's just, there's nothing
they exist. I've seen them. Also, I think with him, I think the main impressive thing with him, because you watch all these amazing quarterbacks, you have some good highlights. Lamar Jackson. I love Lamar Jackson.
Dude, Lamar Jackson.
I love Lamar Jackson.
It is so fun.
The difference with Tom Brady, and this applies to everything, with like any amazing athlete or incredible person, with like, it's the way they handle pressure. And with Tom Brady, he just has ice in his veins. Like, you know,
this is what I tried to like convey to Amanda, but it doesn't translate well to like a 5-minute highlight reel of his best plays.
Instead,
of his
you know
career.
What you should do instead of that? You say, you know what? Tom Brady is impressive. You know what's really impressive? A nuclear reactor.
Mm.
And you start showing that, you know? Anyways, would we hire?
Well, he's definitely the most qualified person.
Easily.
Come here.
Easily the most qualified person.
Probably the most educated.
And the way he can lobby. Like, you're kind of a lobbyist. Lobby.
I would love to be a lobbyist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course. You want money.
I could roll into that field.
Would you work for Raytheon?
I
help them with their news.
The Raytheon does have an office.
Yeah.
Out in Boston. Yeah. And I did consider applying to a couple of Raytheon jobs.
How about Boeing?
Boeing, no. Boeing has clearly hit the fan. They're nosediving right now.
Yeah, you know, it's not
Airbus.
Our business.
Your yeah,
we
need, business.
We could absolutely use you.
Okay.
You know, because we have to, we're going to have to lobby people to actually listen to this podcast.
Okay.
And I feel like you're a great, I mean, just the way we've already discussed how good you'd be in a fast food window.
That's right.
We just kind of, you know, like you'd be, yeah, you'd be perfect for us. And also a great example of an idyllic figure for the rest of our staff to look up to and be like, that's what you should do in life. This is the way you're supposed to exist.
Yeah.
You're supposed to have aspirations and actually follow through on them, you know?
Oh, thank you.
And yeah. And so we could really use you in the office, but also you probably wouldn't be in the office because, you know, you'd be out in Congress.
I want to be out there. I want to go out and tell, I guess the people at home listening and watching is, go out to Taco Bell and get yourself a Cheez-It. What is it? A Cheez-It Crunchwrap, guys.
Oh, dude, you're sounding like a politician already.
Ugh.
Dude, it's like when it's like Peyton Manning won the Super Bowl, and the first thing he said when they're like, "How are you feeling right now?" And he's like, "I feel like I want to go home and drink Coca-Cola and eat Papa John's."
Papa John's.
It was the first thing he said, like, when they brought the mic to him.
The most recent, the one with the Broncos?
I can't remember if it was the Broncos. It might have been the Broncos. But
he looks at his hand and it's just like smeared pen.
Dude, I was watching
Coca-Cola
and I was watching with my family. My dad was like, "Yeah, I definitely got paid to say that." My dad's pretty fun to watch stuff with sometimes. He sees through all the bullshit.
He saw right through it, dude.
Now he's a CIA agent, dude. I was like, I didn't see. I was like, I thought he just liked it, you know.
Oh, I want to go Coca-Cola and Papa John's.
Yeah, I've never had Papa John's, but now I kind of want it.
I'm gonna hanker it.
I want to be a Peyton Manning. Anyways, love having you here. Sad to see you go back to Boston.
Mm.
But anyways,
it's been a lot of fun. Thanks for having me, guys. Yeah, this has been a thrill. I really enjoyed popping on this podcast.
I just want to say that right before this, my friend is a bartender in Salt Lake. He texted me and said, "Hey, Nick Swartzen just walked in here. You should come." And I said, "God damn it, I'm in Provo." But then I put my phone down and I said, "I don't really care, because I get a podcast with Nicholas Stubblefield today."
With Nicholas.
That's so right. Actually, I'm actually very happy here.
Which, okay, Nicholas, thank you very much.
It's going to be bigger than Nick Swartzen.
Yeah.
One day. I will probably never perform drunk on stage, so.
Okay. Yeah. Well, never say never. But
never say never. You're right. Quinn, thanks for not holding me back.
Never say never. Also, you're probably the first comic to have a special at Chernobyl.
Yes,
that would be sick. That'd actually be that would the be coolest. Cool.
That would be
special.
Yeah, we need to wrap up.
Don't this. Tell Ukraine.
We need to stop. Yeah. Don't tell Ukraine.
We need to end that war so Nick can film his special.
Yeah.
All right, we'll leave it right there.
Okay, Cheez-It Crunchwrap.